You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Proverbs 3:5. Everybody ready? You know, when I got saved, this is probably the first verse I ever got a hold of, beside John 3:16, obviously, on how to be saved. But I never will forget. I mean, I put this on an index card. And when I first got saved in May of 1975, I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible, really. Basically, heathen, you know. Heathen, lost, pagan. I'd had a church upbringing when I was real small, real little. We'd gone to the Church of Christ. But I never got baptized in the Church of Christ, never got saved in that sense. And so later on in the life, I didn't go to church, got in drugs and jails, and just, had a real anti-God attitude, more atheistic than anything. And then I got saved. You know, a guy witnessed to me on job, and I got saved. I accepted Jesus, and I was just turned on fire for God. And so I was devouring the Bible because I didn't know anything about the Bible. I wanted to know. And so every afternoon I'd come in after work, and we were living in Deer Park, Texas at that time. Chateau Creole Apartments, Red Bluff Road. And that was actually Pasadena. Yeah, Pasadena. It's on the edge of Deer Park. We lived in both cities for a while. But at that time, we were in Pasadena. And I would just read the Bible for hours and hours and hours. I just, I was lost. Now I'm saved. And I just wanted, everything was good. I'd underline everything that was good. So I underlined everything. Because it was all good, you know. And then I'd write on cards, these index cards, scriptures that would just jump at me, you know, would come alive to me. And I had lots of them. I mean, because everything jumped at me. And I had this little closet and a card table in there, and I'd put my Bible in there, and I'd stick these scriptures on the walls, you know, of that closet. It became my prayer room, as it were. And one of the first ones I ever got a hold of was Proverbs 3:5. I never will forget. It just burned in me. It just leaped at me off the pages. It came on, you know, it just lit a fire inside of me. And it's real simple. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. And I kind of made that my ethos, as it were, you know. I determined from that day forward, you know, when I got saved, that I was going to trust in the Lord, and I wasn't going to lean to my own understanding. I was going to believe what God said. No matter what He said, I was going to believe it. No matter how crazy it sounded, no matter how, you know, my mind might balk at it, and my logic and my thinking and my reason might say no, 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 I decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. If I've turned my life and thrown my life over to Him because of what He said about Jesus, John 3:16, if I've staked my whole eternal destiny and future on the fact that He told the truth and did not lie when He said that He so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. If I'm going to stake my life and destiny and eternity on that, then I'm going to believe everything else He says. Seriously. That's what was going through my mind, you know, at that time. And so this scripture just burned in me. And it's a simple scripture. It's a simple truth. And we all say, yeah, I believe that. But we really don't. We say that, but we really don't. Because lots of times we don't trust God. Are you with me? Every time you get in fear, doubt, and worry, you stop trusting God. Every time you react to a report, a negative report, you're not trusting God. When you let fear come in, and you let doubt and worry come in, and grab a hold of you, and you lay awake at night worrying, say about the economy because of what you heard on the news, you know what? You're not trusting God. Let's just put it just pure and simple. Just say it like it is. Me too. All of us. We have got to learn to just trust God with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. These are the principles of God Almighty, the creator and the maker of the universe, the one who set the stars in the sky, the one who sent Jesus to die for your sins and for my sin, the lover of your soul. These are His principles. They work. These are His promises. They're true. Are you with me? He is the Lord God. He changes not. Malachi 3:6. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. We have got to learn to trust Him. If He says, believe Him, I can believe Him. If He says, do this, do. If He said, walk this way, walk that way. Are you with me? It works. It pays to serve God. I don't want to be like those in Malachi 3. You know, we all quote Malachi 3:10 where it says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse and maybe meet in my house and prove me now herewith. if I not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that you don't have room to receive. And he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, and you shall be called a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah, somebody. Everybody say amen. Okay, we all believe that. But it goes on, it says, but your words have been stout against me. And they say, well, where have our words been stout against you? He says, well, you have said that the commandments of God and the statutes of God do not work. Wow. I mean, you ought to read it. Go and read on past that, Malachi 3:10, where it talks about all those blessings. He got on their case, and he says, your words have been stout against me. What's stout against God? What is, in a sense, challenging God? What is it that just grieves the Spirit that he does not like? For you to question his word and to say it doesn't work. In this case, as far as the ones he was talking to in Malachi, it was to tithe and say it didn't work when you did it. Say it doesn't pay to tithe. The principles, the commandments, the statutes of God do not work. Oh, don't you say that. Don't have stout words against God. Let's don't do that. Let's trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and let's lean not to our own understanding. God says, love somebody, go love them. God says, forgive somebody, forgive them. But I don't want to forgive them. He didn't ask you if you wanted to. He didn't ask you if you felt like it. He said, go forgive them. Yeah, but I don't want to do that. Yeah, but see, God wants to bless you. And he loves you more than you love yourself. And he knows more about you than you know about yourself. And he knows that if you do not love that person, you do not forgive that person, it's going to hurt you and them. Are you with me? You're going to plant something. You're going to sow the wind. You're going to reap a whirlwind. It's what you're going to do. Are you out there? Hallelujah. We got to learn to trust God. And of course, that's a mouthful when you say trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You're going to have to know what God says in order to trust him. I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand. I mean, what are you trusting him for? You have to quote a scripture, know something, some promise you're standing on. It's not some wild, vague thing, you know, I trust. Trust what? What do you? I trust the Lord. For what? What did he say? Do you know what he said? You have to know what he says to be able to trust what he says. Isn't that right? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if I'm going to go on this quest, this trek, if I'm going to operate in this principle, if I'm going to make this, you know, something I center in on this year, new year coming up, then I'm going to trust God, then that means I'm going to have to get in his presence, and I'm going to have to get in his word and find out what he says, what are his promises, and go over them. And go over and over and over and over them. You know, I don't know what area in your life you're battling, or whatever, what need you have, what's your greatest need in life, but you need to find out what the word of God says about that area or that need, and you need to immerse yourself in that. You need to look at that every day. Go over and over and over that. You know, give you an example. I like to do, anybody ever done Sudoku, the little number puzzle Sudoku? You ever done that? Come on, fess up. Hands up. Okay, all right. I kind of like to do that. You know, you got to have a break, something, you know. So I'll do Sudoku, you know. And I've got this book, several books actually I've gone through over the years. But, you know, I've been battling some physical issues, you know, believing I'm healed in Jesus' name, and I am healed in Jesus' name. So what I do when I, like the Sudoku, I just, because you throw those books away anyway. When you get through them, you're done. You throw them away. So before I ever do a puzzle, I write a healing scripture on the top, and then I'll do a Sudoku. Flip the page, write another healing scripture, and do that puzzle. That way I don't feel guilty about spending 3 hours doing Sudoku. You know what I mean? Because I'm going over the word the whole time. But, I mean, that's just one thing. I mean, you could think of any number of ways, innovative ways, creative ways, to get the word in front of you. You know, in other words, you read a scripture before you do what it is you like to do. Well, I don't know what it is you like to do. Maybe you read a few verses or a chapter or two before you go watch a show or whatever. I don't know what it is. But do something that forces you. You have to get in the word. You have to get the word in you. Now, I read the Word every day, so that's not an issue. But, I mean, I was centering in on healing. I mean, I've gone over 30, 35 healing scriptures that I could just go over and over. Every day I go over healing scriptures and say them and look at them, make them personal. And, Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I say, God, you're the Lord that heals me. I make it personal. Exodus 23:25 says that if you serve God, and he'll bless your bread and water and take all sickness away from the midst of you. So I say, Lord, I serve you. I thank you for blessing my bread and water, and I thank you for taking all sickness away from me. Make it personal. And that's trusting the Lord with all your heart and leaning not to your own understanding. Because we know a lot about our situations in the natural. If it's physical, we know all. As far as back issues, I've been to the back doctors and had steroid shots, and I know all about the sciatic nerve and the L5 and the L4. And I know all there is without having to go to take a course, about that and what the sciatic nerve does and how it causes this pain down the left side or the right side. All that stuff. But see, if I don't trust the Lord, that's not going to help me. It may be, we use wisdom, and I'm for doctors and I'm for medicine. If you can get help, go get it. I go to doctors myself. But I've got to trust God to really get over something. You have to trust God. To get totally healed, you got to trust God. Amen? That's what the NET, I love this in the New English Translation, Psalms 41, verse 3. It says, in my bed of sickness, he completely heals me. Completely heals me. See, God isn't a complete healing. By his stripes, we were healed. Amen? And so he takes away from us all sickness. Hallelujah. He is a healing God. Praise God. That's a principle. That's a principle that comes from trust. It comes from believing. It doesn't happen overnight. Some things take a little longer than others. I don't know why. If you're a farmer and you're going to plant a crop, there are certain times of year you need to plant. If you're raising Christmas trees, then you better have some money socked back somewhere if you're going to start a Christmas tree farm, because it takes a few years for them to grow. Hello. Some things just take longer. I don't understand that, but I know that if I continue to follow the principles, it will happen, because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7 tells us that. Amen. But this would be a good start. Come on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. I don't believe that. No, lean not to your own understanding. Well, I think that's a better... Whoa. Are you out there? Lean not to your own understanding. Yeah, but. No, yeah, but. Hello. God said it. That settles it. Obviously, I understand the bumper sticker and the scripture, and the saying, and I understand it. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But no, actually, God said it, and that settles it. Now, I believe it, and that settles it in my life, but it's settled in heaven and earth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven and earth. The only thing that happens when I believe it is it settles it in my life. But it's a settled fact, the Lord is my healer. Amen? It's a settled fact that he delights my prosperity. Hallelujah. It's a settled fact that my God supplies my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's a settled fact that if I seek the Lord, the kingdom of God first, that all these things will be added to me. It's a settled fact that he wants me to prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. That's settled. That's what the word says. Now, I may not be prospering, but God's word's true and the principle's there. If I'll work it, if I'll work the principle. Ooh, I love that. That's good stuff. Amen. What is that? Yeah, I think about, is it Proverbs 17:22? It says, merry heart doeth good like a medicine, broken spirit dryeth the bones. I believe in Amplified says a cheerful mind works healing. Works it. It works it. A cheerful mind works healing. Your mindset, what you're thinking, what you're focused in on, your mindset, it works the principles of God or it works against the principles of God. If you lean not to your own understanding and you trust in the Lord, you can work the principles of God. You can put them to work like a farmer going out and working. You can pull up weeds, you can water, and you can fertilize, and you can plant, and you can see an increase in a harvest of the seeds that God wants to grow. if you have the right mindset. But if your mind's not set right, it goes on and says this, a broken spirit dries up the bones. The New Living Translation says that it saps your personal strength. Cheer up! That's what Jesus said to the man that was sick of the palsy. He said, cheer up, your sins are forgiven. See, a certain amount of... there's an attitude that you have to have, a faith, and faith brings cheer. If you really believe in God, you're going to be excited. You're going to be up. You're not going to be down. If you're down, you're not believing. You need to get up. You need to call somebody. Get out of that closet. Don't disconnect that phone and put on that blues album. Pet that devil. Woo! Are you out there? Cheer up. Get cheerful, see? Change your attitude. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that. Because that's faith. Faith is going to bring joy. It's going to bring peace. If you're believing, you know it's going to be all right. God's going to come through. You can't stay down. Well, you may get down, but don't stay down. I love that saying. You know, I'm never down. I'm either down or I'm getting up. No, he said I'm either up or I'm getting up. I'm never down. Hello. Woo, righteous man falls seven times, but he rises again. Just get back up. Okay, so we got through one verse. That's not bad, 30 minutes. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Next verse says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. In other words, examine your life. Here we are going in a new year. Look at your life and see if you really acknowledge him in all your ways. Okay, you're coming to church. That's good. Are you trusting him with your business? Are you trusting him with your marriage? How about your marriage? How are you doing there? Are you believing God for your marriage? Are you griping, complaining, moaning, groaning? What are you doing? I mean, are you with me? How about your kids? Are you trusting God with your children? Are you doing that? What about your future? You know, look at all your ways and ask yourself, am I trusting God in all my ways? Am I really, in all my ways, acknowledging him and putting him first? Is he Lord of my marriage? Is he Lord of my business? Is he Lord of my health, my body? Is he Lord of this area, that area? And the list is endless. But examine yourself. This is just good stuff to start the year out with. These are principles that will bring a harvest of blessing in your life. That will cause life and health to come to you without question, without doubt. Are you trusting him in your finances? Are you a tither? There's a good question. You know, I don't talk a whole lot about tithing. I mean, we're a giving church, and most everybody tithes. But, you know, everybody doesn't tithe. And I don't know who does and doesn't, so don't think I'm picking on you. But if you're not tithing, I am picking on you. So, unbeknownst to me, I just don't know who you are. You ought to start tithing. You ought to give 10% of your money to God. That's what the Bible says to do. Hello. And trust him when you do it. Do it and trust him. Believe him. Acknowledge him in your finances. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And you know, if you've been blessed, and you ought to give above that. Are you out there? And I don't need the government taxing the rich. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you willfully doing this because God has blessed you. I don't think you ought to stop at 10%. I don't think anybody ought to stop at 10%. I think 10% is just a starting point. I believe as God blesses you, you ought to give 12%, give 15%, give 20%. Make it a goal to believe God to give 25%. You know, there are some great men and women of God throughout history, even modern history, that live their lives and wind up at the end of their life giving 80 and 90% of their income to the Lord and just lived off 10%. J.C. Penney, when he died, gave 90% of his income to the Lord. R.J. Letourneau made, you know, all those bulldozers and all those big heavy machinery. Same thing. When he died, he was giving 90% of his money to God, his personal income, and just lived off 10%. Because he had so much money, he figured he didn't need it. He didn't need the government to tax him. He was born again. He loved the Lord and he wanted to help people. Are you out there? Then it gets quiet. I'm not asking you to give all your money. Well, I'm not going to take an offering at the end of this service. I'm just throwing this out. Is he Lord of your finances? That's a good question. Have you acknowledged him in that way? Are you having financial trouble? Well, are you examine yourself. Are you faithful in your tithes and offerings? You have marital problems? Well, are you faithful to love each other and to pray for each other and to say good things about each other? Do you do that, or do you just yeah all the time? You can't violate the principle and get a good outcome. You out there? You cannot violate that principle. Because it's built in, see? It's built into the principle. Whatever you sow, that's what you'll reap. The DNA is in the seed. If you love, love comes back. If you mean, mean comes back. Hello. Why is everybody so mean to me? Turn that finger around. Point back at you. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your paths. Amen. I love that. Here's what will happen. A lot of times you don't know what to do. You really honestly are just ignorant, and you don't know the next step. You don't know what you should be doing. You're not necessarily purposely doing the wrong thing. You're ignorantly doing the wrong thing because you're not aware of the right thing to do. But here's what will happen, though. If you acknowledge God in all your ways, he will direct your paths. He'll give you insight. He'll give you revelation. All of a sudden a thought will come. You know, an idea will come. He'll speak to you and tell you what you need to be doing. He'll do that in your business. He'll do that in your marriage. Are you with me? He'll do that in your personal life. Whatever it is that you turn over to him and make him Lord of, he'll begin to give you insight and give you wisdom and give you direction. How many of you would like to have wisdom and direction from God? Man, come on, I'd like some of that. Well, I'm going to have to acknowledge him in order for him to do that. First, you know, acknowledge that he's Lord. I turn this over to you, Lord. I'm not going to do this on my own. I'm asking your help and your wisdom and your guidance. You do that, he'll direct your path. Seven first. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Man. Woo. Have a camp meeting there. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It is never wise to sin. It is never wise to do evil. It's never wise to get back at that person that hurt you. It's never wise to lay up all night with schemes and scams and plans how you're going to destroy that person's life and make it miserable for them. You know, the first funeral I preached was my uncle, Uncle Dole, my dad's oldest brother. Years ago, and he's a good man. I mean, he was just an old country man, you know, and actually fought World War II over in France, and you know, came back over, and he's a farmer, and I worked for him during summers a lot, raising watermelons, and I did a lot of that when I was growing up. But he hated crows. He just hated crows. I mean, if anybody was obsessed and with something that they just detested and hated, It was crows. Uncle Dahl hated them. And so he'd give me a dollar a crow every one I killed. Don't worry, I didn't get rich. But I did kill a few, you know. Because they ate watermelons, you know. They ate his watermelons. They ate his corn, his peas, and everything. And he just hated them. And I remember one time I winged a crow. I didn't kill him, but I winged him. And I got him, you know. And what I would do, I had made a deal with my other uncle for a dollar a crow because he raised watermelons. And so I would just go by and say, hey, I killed that crow. Here's a crow. Look, I got a crow in the back. And he'd give me a dollar. And I'd drive over to my other uncle and get another dollar. A little entrepreneur, you know, going on there. Yeah. I also sold a few watermelons, too, that I put in the back of my truck. But anyway, that's another story. That's all before I got saved. So Uncle Dahl, he saw this crow in the back of the truck still alive. And, you know, his back here is winged, you know, and he's, you know, he's making all this noise and everything. And, oh, great, he's still alive. And I said, yeah. So he takes him and he tortures that crow. He ties a wire around his feet and hangs him from this limb and puts a watermelon underneath him, opened up, and lets him swing back and forth where he has to see that watermelon. And I thought, he is obsessed with this. He hates these crows. And is laughing about it the whole time, you know. There's your watermelon right there. There's your watermelon. Now, see, that's obsessive. Are you with me? Okay. Now, don't call animal cruelty and PETA and everybody else on me. I'm just making a point here. I believe my uncle paid for that, was miserable because of his hatred for crows. He probably laid awake at night with stomach ulcers and everything else, thinking of how they were eating his watermelons right then, you know. That's obsessive. Hey, shoot the crow, get rid of it, okay? Don't torture it. I'm trying to work that into my message. Shoot what? What are we going to shoot? Anyway, get rid of it. Kill the thing. Don't just torture the thing. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It's evil to hate. It's evil to hold those kinds of feelings like my uncle did. Now, he was saved. He went to heaven, all that. But I wonder if there were crows that met him at the gate. I don't know. I just, you know, God has a sense of humor. I just want hallelujah. Eighth verse. When we do all this, this is what's so good. This is what's so cool. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Wow. What? Just trust in God. Trust in God will be health or healing to your flesh and strength to your bones. Make you strong, make you healthy. Anybody want to be healthy and strong? Well, trust in God with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Are you with me? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to all your flesh, and it will be strength to your bones. Boy, there's the produce. There's the harvest that comes from doing this. God's not just saying, go out there and trust me because I say so. No, he's saying, go trust me because I want to heal you. I want you to be strong. And people that don't trust God are not strong. Are you with me? People that don't trust God do not have a healthy life. People that don't trust God, that never acknowledge God, that never pray, that never seek him, that never trust and never call on him, I tell you what, they're not complete and full and whole. There is a lot missing in their life. Some of the most miserable people in the world are people who have all kinds of money and all kinds of riches and all kinds of fame, but they don't know how to trust God. And God's not against riches. He'll bless you with riches. As long as he's first in your life. But I tell you, when you're miserable is when you're not trusting him. That's when you're miserable. I don't want to be miserable. I don't want my white Christmas to turn blue. Are you with me? I don't want to live a life depressed. I don't want to live a life spinning my wheels, living without purpose, living with no hope, living just from day to day, just existing. You know what? If I'm going to change that, then I'm going to have to start trusting God daily, every day. Trust him. Get up and trust God. Hallelujah. Today I'm going to trust God for this day. I'm going to trust God for this job. I'm going to trust God for whatever it is I'm doing today. I'm going to acknowledge him. Are you with me? And I'm going to let him direct my paths. I'm not going to be wise in my own eyes. I'm going to turn this. This is the day the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. You know, that scripture is Psalms 118 is where that is. 118th Psalm starts in 24th, 25th verse. Says, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. The next verse says, save now, O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now, O Lord, prosperity. We don't often quote that next verse. Well, we love to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. But the psalmist, when he wrote that, went on and said, now, Lord, save us today. I beseech thee, Lord, now send prosperity. He acknowledged it was God's day. Amen, in all of his ways. And then he got ready to get blessed. Deliverance and prosperity was coming because he acknowledged that this was the day the Lord has made. And he was going to rejoice and be glad in it. Okay, real quickly, I'll wrap this up. Actually, it's real early. I don't know what I'm in a hurry for, but I got on real early. I think I did this last week. I wonder if the orchestra's going to start a trend here. They think they could get me on early and get out early, you know. Ninth verse. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. We talked about tithes. Well, be faithful. If God's blessed you and given you something, give back to him. Pure and simple. You know, if you've got a talent, you owe that to God. I think Rush Limbaugh says, talent on loan from God. You know, whatever you have is on loan from God. Amen. Whatever gifts you have, whatever talents you have, whatever money you have, it's just on loan from God. It's all his. You ought to honor him with that. Amen. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Notice this. So shall your barns be filled with plenty. and your vats will overflow with new wine, freshness, prosperity, anointing. I love that. You say, barns filled with plenty. I don't have any barns. Well, go build some. Get ready for the blessing. You know, Jerry Savelle was talking about believing for a plane, his first plane he ever believed for. And he said, man, he'd sowed seed, and he was believing, and he's traveling so much, he needed a plane to fly around in, because it was just getting hard to make it work commercially the way he... And Jerry Savelle preached every night, different place every night. I mean, the guy flies everywhere. But he was believing for this plane, and he said the Lord spoke to him. He's praying about it, and the Lord spoke to him and says, Jerry, where are you going to put that plane? He said, what do you mean? He said, you don't even have a hangar. If I gave you a plane today, where would you put it? So he went out and rented a hangar. The guy asked him, he says, you got a plane? He says, yep. And he says, where is it? It's coming. And he rented the hangar, you know, and he didn't have the plane, but he had it in spirit. He believed for it and stood for it and stood in faith for it. And the Bible says, when you pray, believe you receive it. And you shall have it. So he believed, he received it, you know. And he'd stand out there in that hangar and just believe God and stand on it. It wasn't very long at all. I think it may have been, you know, just within a month or so, somebody gave him a plane. But he prepared for it. He got ready for it. He got the hangar because he was believing for the plane. You know, sometimes we're believing for things, but we're not ready for it. We're not in position to receive. Woo! Are you out there? So I love this. You know, I think about it when I read this. It says, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your vats overflow with new wine. We're believing for increase and growth. We got 40-something acres out here. Got a big gymnasium out here. We're going to fill it up. We're going to build it. We're going to complete it. We're going to fill it up. But, you know, we poured a lot of concrete. We're going to pour a lot more concrete. That's what Glenn's believing anyway. We are. We're going to pour a lot more concrete. But you got to get ready. You got to build it. They're going to come. But that starts first with vision, and vision starts first with acknowledging God. You acknowledge God, God will give you all kinds of vision. Passion and excitement and joy and vision, revelation. Then you'll start getting ready for it. You'll start building for it. We went out here and built two rooms in a warehouse for the food ministry before we started the food ministry. Because there was no sense in starting a food ministry if we weren't ready for it. So I remember Ted and Bobby and I went out and started building rooms out there, and we built rooms and put lights and air conditioning. Got Robert. Robert came over there, and it was crazy. We had to get wire. We had to get electricity from the gym over there because we didn't have enough. I didn't have enough foresight when we built the warehouse to put enough electricity in that warehouse to handle all that we've now got in it. But when you think about it, how would you have enough foresight to do all the stuff we do anyway? I mean, we were tapped on electricity for Hallelujah Night for forever until we got that gym. I mean, we had breakers going off during Hallelujah Night, you know, popcorn machines to throw breakers. We're using every bit of electricity we had out here. But Hallelujah, we got the gym and we got more electricity. But you get ready for what's coming. You get ready for blessing. Amen? You acknowledge Him. He gives you insight. He directs your paths. And then He begins to bless you. Health in your body and increase in your finances. And it all starts with trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Hey, let me tell you something about what's going on in our country and the news and everything. Let me give you some insight. Turn off the TV. Get the weather and turn off the TV, okay? Find out what the temperature's going to be tomorrow and just turn off the TV. I mean, in 5 minutes, you know what's going on around the country anyway. They just repeat it all day long. Why sit there and before long, your blood pressure is so high, by the end of the day, you're just a wreck from watching all the news that's going on. And it's just repeated over and over and over and over and over. You heard it all the first 5 minutes of the day. Okay, now you know what to pray about. Just turn the TV off and pray. Are you out there? And trust God. Hallelujah.